You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel, for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, once again, we are joined by Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in beautiful Seattle, Washington. And on this episode of Enterprise Radio, Peter will be touching on putting in the work and making the sacrifices to bring your vision to life. Looking forward to hearing from you once again, Peter, and thanks for joining us once again on the program.
Eric, thanks for having me. Can't wait to jump in.
Yes, sir. Let's do it. So building a business takes a lot of hard work and sacrifice, obviously. Talk to us about what that work and sacrifice looks like to you.
Yeah, so I think what I'm going to touch on this conversation here is about the preparation that goes into executing as an entrepreneur. Because preparation is some of the most sacrificial upfront type of work that you got to do to really make it happen. And I think it's overlooked at times, because a lot of people like to just jump in and start doing things. But there's a good proverb, I forget how it kind of goes, but I have it written down somewhere that I read here and there. And it says something like, if you're going to build a house, first get the field ready, get all the tools ready, prepare the field, get the laborers, and then get the plan done, and then start to build. But I think that's what I'm going to jump into right now. And in business, and when you're building a company, I think preparation's as important as really anything else, and without it, you're not going to be as successful. I'll give you a couple examples, even from my own life here, some stories here. When I first got into business, I didn't know anything about business. I came out of college. I went to Georgetown University, where I had a philosophy degree, and I later went to Harvard for a law degree, but I didn't know anything about business, zero. In fact, I wasn't even inclined to business, and my parents were teachers, and they were sort of not really feeling the idea of me jumping into business. They didn't think it was the best way to serve humanity. I actually kind of agreed with them, but I sort of backed my way into business because of who I am and not really the type of person that's going to fit in a company as well under a structure that's already created. I'm best to set up my own structure. And given where business is in today's environment, I felt it was, and I learned it was the best way for me to have a huge impact. But in order to jump in, I didn't really know what to do. So the way I started planning was I had to get down and say, okay, well, how am I going to do this? So I put down a strategy, a plan, and it was, if I looked back, this was 13 years ago or 14 years ago when I jumped in, I'm sure it would just look like absolutely, you know, very silly, stupid plans. But nevertheless, it was a plan, and I think that's very important to have one. And my plan was to get after it and set up a lot of preparatory work before I get into business. And the way I did that was I needed to get a lot of knowledge. In order to get that knowledge, I mapped out a strategy to get access to a lot of books. And I got that through the Interlibrary Loan System of New York, where I lived in upstate New York, and I'd have books mailed in from far. And because I didn't have the money to buy a lot of books, but I ended up getting on loan over 150 books over about 3 months that I just pummeled through, because my background was in philosophy. So I knew I could read, and really most anybody out there can read. And even if you can't read that well, you can also listen to audiobooks now, which weren't around 13 years ago. And this will give you the knowledge that you need and the preparatory information that would be critical for you to jump in. The other form you have now is podcasts, and which are also excellent. If I had the chance to have that, I would love to listen to myself now and understand some of the lessons I've learned to help me to get an edge at that point 13, 14 years ago when really I didn't know anything. And I made a ton of mistakes even after getting all these books and slamming through. Nevertheless, if I hadn't done that, I probably wouldn't have succeeded. Because with those books, with that information, I was able to map out and come up with a realistic execution strategy that I then went after and executed on. And then as I went forward, I built a company up. It started getting some size, a few million dollars in size or so. But at that stage, I wanted to go to the next level. And I didn't have the networks. I didn't understand accounting well. And accounting is, Warren Buffett calls it, the language of business. The other aspect I didn't understand well was the law. And law is sort of the rules of the game in business, right? So I decided I need to get my head around these things really well if I was going to do something in a very large scale and reach as many people as possible. So in order to conquer those things, I ended up getting into Harvard Law School, where I actually applied to Harvard Law School while I was doing a lot of deals and things like that. I literally was taking the LSAT, the law exams, while I was doing a lot of deals, so in between, I was actually, they were calling me in if I wanted to finish the test, I better move fast because I had to get back in the class and finish it. And because I was trying to close a deal on the business side where I was trying to build up my company at the time. But I went there for the network, really, and also to learn a little bit about the law, to get a JD to start to understand the rules of the game a little bit better. And this is kind of all preparatory. And in a way, I'm preparing for the future as I'm actually executing at the same time. And that's what I'd encourage the listeners to do is, first, I would say prepare heavily upfront, very intensely. And I did that for about 90 days or so. Then I got out there and started whacking. But then along the way, I continued to prep and lay groundwork for the next stage, so I'd be of a higher level of knowledge and able to play at a higher level. So once I was in law school, I continued to run business. I had a couple different businesses going on. But I had actually a substantial amount of free time because I realized that the classes I could get away with skipping the classes, getting notes from friends, and just taking the exams, which freed up tons of my time. So I used that time to learn about finance and get I actually got a CPA license while it was there. And that CPA license it allowed me to understand accounting at an expert level. So this is important because I would go in front of a lot of people with fund managers, investors, people with tons of money at their discretion, and they don't want to give it to somebody that doesn't know their language, doesn't speak their jargon really. And that's a lot of it is actually jargon, and some of it's just not intuitive. So if I'm showing up there at a meeting and I'm asking someone for $1 million and I'm saying things that I'm not speaking their language, and then they're saying stuff to me I don't understand, I'm responding in kind in a way that doesn't make any sense to them, and they're just going to be scared of me, like, get this guy out of here. But if I'm coming in and I understand their language, I know how to speak to them, the chance of me getting that money and executing that, getting that investment is way higher. So the CPA degree helped me out a lot. It later also played to a lot of advantages down the road for me as well. So that preparatory work I was doing while I kept doing business as well, because I was still actually pummeling. I had two different businesses I was moving on, and they're both growing, and I was pushing them hard. That preparatory work, I continue to do it, and I still continue to do preparatory work, by the way. I still continue to execute things on the side that are learnings that help to expand my mind into different directions that I don't know about. And the last example I'll jump into, the last story, was I didn't, at a certain point, I didn't understand how to set up trust work at a global scale. And I had this idea, trust work is the current business I'm working on and the one I'm going to continue to work on probably for the rest of my life, because we've mapped it out to be the largest business ever built to really establish a new world economy online. It's a massive vision, and it's going to take all of my effort to do it. But in order to pull off trust work at a global scale, I knew I needed to understand other countries and how it happens at a local level. If I really want to touch those individuals, reading books and getting online information is not enough. In the United States, we're only 300 million people. There's 6.5, 6.7 billion other people in other countries. So I ended up mapping out a strategy to get over there. And this is also preparatory work again. This time I'm preparing for expansion of my vision of how I'm going to get the strategy going at trust work. So I ended up hitting 85 countries. It took me a year and a half. I traveled with my wife and baby. And I had a baby at the time, so you can imagine the stress on. There was a bit of a challenge trying to figure out how to do this. But coming out of that, a year and a half later, I touched back down in the United States, and I was completely exhausted. But that preparation was absolutely critical, and there's really no other entrepreneur that currently or technologist that's in my space that can compete with me now on their understanding of the local areas across the country and the problems that these people face that can actually build technology for them while also building technology for us in the U.S., So now I have this like unique advantage I built by just doing that. I mean, it wasn't fun. Lots of it was fun, right? Challenge is always fun, but it was very, very, very challenging. Very hard to replicate as well. I wouldn't say it's impossible to replicate because someone could do it, but it's just going to take a massive amount of time and stress and grit. They're going to have this power right through it. In the meantime, it's going to take them a year and a half, right? And I've already finished that 3 years ago, three years ago. But I've been executing against that strategy. And when I put that strategy together, it took me actually 30 days straight to just write that, 12-hour days. I would do it in 6-hour sprints. I took my family, went out to the mountains, actually in Switzerland, and I executed against that with just really insanity. I would just go 6-hour sprints and just head down, crushing it. I'd pop back up for air to send the document to one of my partners. We would discuss it. He would shoot holes. He's a brilliant completely genius level guy. I recruited out of Harvard when I was there, been partners with me for many years. And he would shoot holes in my thinking, as he always does. And then I would tighten it up. I would then go for a walk for an hour with my family, then come back and hammer for another 6 hours, send it to him, debate stuff until about 11 p.m. or so at night, and then crash out, do the same thing the next day for 30 days straight. Came out with about a 60-page single-space document that was pretty tight, and that's the vision of Trust Work. And I did that about 2.5 years ago, and still the vision is relevant, and we're just executing against it. And all that is kind of preparatory work. You know, that's the sacrifice that you got to put in to make something happen. So for anybody who's out there that's an entrepreneur or that wants to get in the game, you got to put in that work, and you got to sharpen that axe. It's totally worth your investment, because it's going to pay off later when that axe is sharp and you're hitting that tree. It's going to chop it down a lot faster. And if you want to really up your game even more, then I really would encourage you to become a part of Trust Work Nation and become a fan of what we're doing, because we're all about trying to help out entrepreneurs. We really are a platform of entrepreneurship. That's the design of it. I designed this thing kind of to scratch the itch that I had when I was younger, to build something for people that are ambitious. They have a lot of they merit the ability to come up, and they have a lot of skills, but they don't have the networks, the capital, and these other things. That's why I built this platform. It's currently in the early stage, so you'd be an early adopter. But by getting a profile, my challenge to the user, to the listeners here, would be I would challenge you to get a profile and start investing in yourself on Trust Work, where you start developing your reputation. And it's going to take a while, because we need a lot of other people to get on here before it becomes legit and a place where people can actually engage in business. So right now, though, if you're already in Florida and Texas, it's already on the rage and things are already going down, and the revenue has been increasing at about 30% per month, which is usually what things would increase over like a 3 to 5 year period. So that's kind of what I'd have to say. And I don't have much else to say on the preparation side here, but that's for those who are out there listening, that's what you got to do. You just got to come in at it. Your most important work, I'd say, possibly, is that work up front.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I'm sure it took a lot of sacrifices. I could hear that certainly in your response just now. Now, going back to the first company, what are some of the sacrifices you made in starting your first company?
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. Love to jump into that. In starting the first company, some of the sacrifices I put in, first thing I had to do was I realized I had constraints. I had a few thousand dollars, maybe $3,000 to $4,000, but I didn't have any. That's not enough to really pay for rent really for more than a few months. And so what I did was I decided to figure out a way to live for free for the most part. I mean, I kind of owed people stuff for just kind of crashing on their couch. And my brother actually ended up being a key partner of mine. And I literally live on his living room floor. Which sounds crazy, but this happened for quite a long time. And he was my initial early partner who's done very well, but he was critical in my success. So I think that was a sacrifice I made. I also cut my expenses down on my food, where I limited my expenses to, I would eat canned food, ramen noodles, things like that. And I would get huge kind of vats. It sounds crazy now, but I got huge vats of protein, and I would, protein from working out. And I also cut my gym membership. I would do a lot of calisthenic work, push-ups, pull-ups, inverted push-ups, all this type of stuff. And, sprints, outside running to keep in shape. But I cut down all my sort of outgoing flow of cash, because I needed that all to kind of just survive at a base level. And then when I got that down to a very, very small amount each, that enabled me to have the space to kind of continue to pursue the building of the business, which I think it's critical. And I'd say if we have listeners out there that are younger, I would really encourage them to avoid taking on too much debt in college. If they're in college, they might have already came out of college. And if that's the case, then I would encourage you to try to figure out very smart ways to manage that debt, to cut down your cash flow out, because the cash required out of you is going to keep you on that treadmill. So the more you can kind of cut that down or nip that in the bud or somehow put that on the ferment, totally critical, because otherwise you don't have food. You really just don't have any money for food.
Yeah, good points made there within that scenario. Now, why is continuing to make sacrifices even after major success an important part of being an entrepreneur?
Well, I would say that I think it's not necessarily an important part about being an entrepreneur and a business owner. It's an important part about being a human being, because if you're successful in business, which the listeners here will be successful in business if they take initiative and they get after it with good preparation, they execute, and they keep their priorities straight. In time, in 3 to 5 years of hardcore sacrifice and just getting after it, they're going to find success. And when you find that success, there's two ways that things can go, and I think it needs to go in the right way. The wrong way is to get that success and kind of sit on it. The right way is to get that success and realize that that success, that increase in money that you have, that increase in wealth, is an obligation you have to others. So to whom much is have, much is given, much is expected. And I think that's critical, and it's not just something that would be applicable to Christians. If there's Christians out there, they might say, oh, that maybe that's only applicable to Christians. No, it's applicable to any human being because we're all tied in it together. We're part of the larger human family. There's people out there that have much less than us, right? And now we're coming from the business side. So, like, what's our duty? Our duty is not to just maximize the bottom line. It is to maximize the bottom line, and that's how you measure your success. But there's a bigger duty above that duty, and that duty is to figure out how to move the needle forward for other people and how to improve their lives in the long term. And that includes your customers, your people that work with you, and just generally other people through charity or things that you might be dealing with. And obviously it starts with your family, though, with people that you love and your friends and your family and stuff like that. So,
yeah, most certainly there. Today we're joined by, once again, Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a billion-dollar investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in Seattle here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Peter, continuing on, you've said that you continue to put in 80-hour work weeks even today. How do you avoid burning out when moving at that fast of a pace for so long?
Yeah. Eric, I think that's a great question. I mean, I've never experienced burnout, and I've been at things for about 13 to 14 years now. That goes in contrast to a lot of people I know that work in other very intense environments. There's people I know that went to Goldman Sachs or went on Wall Street banking or went into McKinsey where they have to work similar type of hours. I think the difference is, I mean, I think the ultimate thing is that I'm chasing passion. I love what I'm doing. I love serving. And so it's kind of like I just go from energy to energy with that. That's not to say I don't get tired. I do get tired. But what I'm saying is that I don't get burnt out. Now, there's also a broader theme, I'd say, above that, that kind of floats above that. And I think that's that you've got to prioritize what's most important in life. And if you keep that in priority, the other parts tend to be synergistic with those top priorities. So long as the other part, say your work part, like when you're getting after things, you're creating things, that work part becomes something. You can leverage off of your other priorities you've kept in order, and they give you more energy. They enable you to execute even better within your work area. However, I would now talk about work a little bit, and I would say within the work area, you should absolutely seek something that is applicable to you, sort of plays to your strengths and your passions. I think that's completely critical within the work sphere. But so, in other words, my answer is just not simple. I would say, first, you got to get your life in order, and you've got to make sure you have hard priorities. And then second, I think you need to go and strike. You need to strike at work in a way that plays to your passions and your strengths. And you need to be realistic about what those things are.
And that is some rich advice right there, good man. Thanks so much for that. And I'm sure our listeners appreciate that as well. In conclusion, do you have any tips for listeners on pitfalls to avoid when working long hours and moving at such a fast pace?
Yeah, I would say that you look at the news, right? You see a lot of successful business people, and they are, you know, they're very successful in business, right? And this is not a lot, but this is some of them, right? And then all of a sudden, boom, their marriage blows up, right? After many years, and it's almost like, what the heck's going on over there, right? But I think what goes on there is slowly you start to kind of, you know, maybe just you have kids, you know, wife, whatever, you're working or your spouse. And then all of a sudden, you know, you just start slipping on your priorities and your work, which is a great thing, you become enslaved to it in a way. Although you have all this money and you make all this money, you think you're now free. You're not. You become more of a slave to it. This is something I also face as well. And you've got to have hard priorities. Otherwise, you are going to slip into problems in your life. And that will, I think, cause that burnout, even if you're in a passion area, or not even a burnout, but just a, I would say just a blow up of your life, where things that are the most important parts just start to blow up and don't work as well. And I think, look, we're all human though, so it's totally understandable if listeners out there, this has happened to them. Believe it, it would happen to me too. I mean, it would happen to me just as well, just as easily. I might be somewhat blessed in that this instruction was given to me very clearly early on, and I was very cognizant of this risk. So I've been always, I still am, and I could, my marriage could still go under, right? So I got to stay vigilant, and my relationship with my kids could still go under. I got to keep that really vigilant as well. So I think I have something I always keep in my pocket as well that sort of keeps me focused, and that includes sort of an acronym I put together, and it's a pretty clunky acronym, but it has 9 priorities that go in front of my work. So although I work about 80-plus hours a week, and I've consistently done that, I have hard priorities. They're in 3 sets of 3. There's 9 priorities. It's God, wife, kids for a woman out there, be God, spouse, kids, or whoever. But God, wife, kids for me. Then it's family, friends, which I consider the same thing. Family, friends, intellectual, health. Health, I would also include physical and also diet and stuff like that. And the last 3 is vision, money, and play. Those last 3 things, and all of these, by the way, all the 9 come in front of my work, which sounds crazy for anybody who knows me, because a lot of people that have worked with me have become, you know, they just couldn't keep up, or they thought I was completely crazy for how much I work. But I mean, I actually do keep a hard prioritization on these things. And these things have to be improving. I want to be pushing these things up more and more. And to give an explanation of the last 3, when I say vision, money, and play, vision, I mean my attitude towards things. You know, what's my attitude? How do I see things? You know, do I see it? Am I looking at someone am I looking at my situations as, oh man, poor me, this and that? Or do I look at it and say, okay, that's a problem. Where's the opportunity in that? You know, there's a failure. How do I learn? How do I get better from that? How does that become my equity now? And then on the money side, I just mean financials for my family, for others that are dependent on me. How am I using that? And that doesn't mean just like that's always growing and I'm getting richer. I don't mean that with the money, actually. What I mean is how good of a steward am I being? How good of a resource taker? How good am I taking care of these resources that are entrusted to me? Am I like just consuming tons of stuff like a kind of like a slob? Or am I being frugal and economic with this stuff that I have that's been entrusted to me? And the last one's play. Am I having a good time? Am I kind of joking and making light of things here and there? Or am I just always, at the grinding stone, kind of like a slave after things?
Once again, Peter, tremendous advice shared here today. I can't thank you enough for that, and also for taking another moment to be with us here today on the program. If listeners wanted to get more information on you and your company, TrustWork, where's the best place that they could get those details?
Yeah, absolutely, Eric. TrustWork, I'd encourage people to, I would challenge the user out there. I'm assuming that you're either an entrepreneur or you'd love to get in business in some way, or you're already successful. Get involved in TrustWork in one way or the other. Help us out. TrustWork Nation is about the fans behind us to make this thing successful. And what is TrustWork really about? Our mission is to empower people to rise up and live abundantly, not just here in the U.S., but anywhere. So become a supporter of us in any way possible. I challenge you to set up a profile. If you live in Florida or Texas, I challenge you to post something and see if it gets done. And get some work done for yourself, get some business, get after some things. And follow me at Peter Rex on Twitter.
And that certainly works. Again, Peter, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Ed.
Once again, we've been speaking with Mr. Peter Rex, an entrepreneur, philanthropist, and thought leader who built a $1 billion investment business from scratch in less than 7 years and now runs a technology company based in Seattle, Washington. And for further details, simply visit trustwork.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.